Good evening and welcome to Release Your Wings. Tonight we're talking about the opposite of love. I'm Dan Bagley and I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha of the Brahma Kumaris. So welcome, Shireen.
Thanks, Dan.
So what is the opposite of love? Most jump to hate, but I suspect that's not where you wanted to go with this.
No, I was actually thinking of indifference.
Ah, indifference. So let's come back that we're not talking about the emotion of love. Eros is closer to unconditional, maybe agape love, that connection, that energy connection of source. Is that right?
Right. Even vitality. Ah. I feel love is that vital force and a connection, but a vital force.
Yeah, an energizing, life-giving almost.
Yeah.
And we're wired to be that way, but we get in our own way.
Right.
So the opposite may not be actually the opposite, like light versus dark. It might be what gets in the way of or makes it go away within that.
Right. You know, I just remember something. Uh-huh. You know Dr. Emoto, the one who, the Japanese scientist, his water experiments are very famous, but he also has an experiment on rice. And what he did was he took 3 jars of cooked rice, sealed them, and he gave them to 3 different sets of school children. One jar, he asked them to send love. Mm-hmm. He put the word love on it, and he asked them to send love, one set of school children. And another jar, he put the word hate and asked them to send hateful words towards it. And one jar, he asked them to ignore. Mm-hmm. And amazingly, the results were that the jar, the rice jar that was ignored, was the worst spoiled.
Ah. So that brings to mind then that there's some traditions that shun people if they behave, and that almost makes indifference an aggressive act. The shunning or the ignoring is...
The ignoring is worse. So the indifference really is worse. And even it could be, I'm taking, let's say, my own thoughts or my own self, my own inner self. If I'm indifferent to it, I'm ignoring it, then I am really not loving myself.
So you're disconnecting from source is the opposite of love. That flow of life-giving energy.
Right.
I like that. I don't like doing it, but I like that thought because in a funny way, then this giving of ourselves at the authentic heart level, not giving necessarily of ourselves like here's a biscuit, then that's really an important thing in terms of maintaining. In fact, by the way, you just reminded me that children who are ignored and don't get that touch die.
Right.
Or they start, you know, in the nursery.
Yeah.
I believe adults do too, but we do it much more slowly because we have other ways of getting pseudo-love or conditional love.
Right, and I feel we resort to some kind of hate or violence to get that kind of attention.
Ah, so now this question of feed me what I need, which is the attention, and my first choice is positive, nourishing attention. But a second choice is any attention besides being a non-entity, being ignored.
Right.
You know, I look at today's society and so many children, it seems to me, are ignored or the TV becomes the babysitter, and which almost by definition puts an artificial construct on how they live, what their reality is.
Right. And also maybe that's why we have so many problems.
Poor kids
are growing up without any kind of nurturing, any kind of belonging.
Yeah. So what are some of the other things? The lack of nurturing, the ignoring.
The opposites of love, you mean?
Yeah, opposites of love.
I feel as an adult, as children, yes, they need our help, but as adults, I feel that to love myself means to take responsibility for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So the opposite of love is to blame.
Ah.
And the opposite of love is not to have courage, is to be disheartened. The opposite of love is to be tired. The opposite of love is to keep hanging on to things of the past.
So anything that stops the vitality of life, the flow, the positive, the self-nurturing of sorts, is the opposite of that connection to the universal, to the life force.
Yeah, and I was especially thinking that, let's take blame, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm not feeling well or I'm not feeling right and I start blaming other people,
right,
I feel that I am actually really completely disconnecting myself from my own vital energy. Mm-hmm. And that we all have within us the possibility of rising to the highest level, and we have to take responsibility for that. No one is going to come and give it to us on a platter.
Right.
And so I have to love myself enough to do that.
And that means go to the trouble and the effort, even the frightening going into the unknown to try something to take responsibility.
Exactly, exactly. So I feel... for us as adults, I feel that we do have to take responsibility for love. Mm-hmm. And when I love myself and I nurture myself, then I'm able to love someone else.
You know, that's really an interesting thing, because we do need to love ourselves before we can truly love other people. And once again, we're not going to, oh, I love you so much, or like I love hamburgers. We're talking about truly, unconditionally, acceptance and connection with others requires that we have acceptance and connection with ourselves.
Yeah, or to see others as legitimate beings, as mm-hmm. beings that have feelings and that, you know, and those feelings matter and all of those things.
So does that mean to hate others is to love ourselves less? Or to put down
no,
others?
No, it means if you're indifferent to others, then you're loving yourself less. That if you're not giving that attention, or you're not to some other people, then you are basically loving yourself less.
So this thing of indifference, though, some would confuse this with the equanimity of not getting wrapped up in the drama.
I call that detachment.
Okay, so what we're, the detachment, good, this is the distinction I'm looking for. Detachment is different from just not caring.
Right, right.
You can watch something and appreciate what is happening.
Right.
And even have a preference for what is happening without getting sucked into
it. Yeah, the emotional, vested interest and things like that.
So does that mean when we're getting sucked into the drama that we are probably moving away from the love connection, because we're creating right and wrong and good people and bad people, and we're blaming one side and not the other?
Yeah, what happens, I feel, if we ride that wave mm-hmm. is good people and bad people, right? We ride extremes of that wave.
Yeah.
And it's not really, and we kind of get yo-yoed.
Yes.
In the extremes. And so it's really good not to ride that wave, because you're going to get yo-yoed.
So that, you know, almost any judgment then of saying this is terrible.
Or even this person is good.
Or this person is good. Now we're really getting strange, because in the saying that you're so good almost means the not you, the other religion, the other path, the other way.
Yeah, the person is not so good.
Yeah. So then probably even, this is, by the way, there is some Buddhist basis on this, that something to the effect of the true path to unity is not difficult, but the moment you have the slightest preference, they're apart, infinitely apart. So this gets really tough to follow.
Yeah. No, but really, if I would say love, is someone who has love is someone who doesn't have any preferences.
Ah. Not even for which food they would eat?
Yeah. And I especially mean human beings.
Ah, okay.
That I don't have a preference over this person, or this person, or this person. That there are no preferences. That I'm able to look at them in pure love. I like the word pure than unconditional.
Yeah. Oh, the pure love then. Now, what about if you have children? Will you have a preference to your children?
Oh, I'm glad I don't.
I can tell you, as someone who feels he has a pretty good level of love for his wife, I greatly prefer to be with her. And so, but this again is confusing. You know, Rumi, the poet Rumi said, language is a tailor shop where nothing quite fits. And when we're talking about love, we still are loving with the same word that we love our children, our parents, our God, our food, etc. And that's not exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
We're talking about that pure love is the unconditional connectedness with all things.
Right, right. In Hindi, you know, love has so many words.
Yeah. We have just one word for many things. In Hindi, they would have many words for various things.
Yeah.
Got it. It's sort of like the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis on how many words the Eskimos have for snow. The words help us make the distinctions, I would imagine.
Right.
So are there any other things we should be aware of that help us
there's
feel
one.
The love connection?
Yeah, there's one. I feel when we hang on to the past, that really actually makes us to a point where that connection breaks. And so I feel hanging on to the past also is the opposite of love. And hanging on to the past, even if I say for me, with you, if you've done something wrong and I hang on to that, then I'm not able to really connect with you.
So the lack of forgiveness, in fact, forgiveness is remedial action on when we were not loving purely or unconditionally.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
So hanging on to the past, but that it sounds to me like that might even celebrating the past. I mean,
yeah, just being now.
Yeah, being in the here and the now.
Right.
So if love is this energy of total flow, the life force, the everything, and some of the experiments would suggest on people and in plants, and people who have a green thumb certainly have a sense of this, then maybe that heart energy is what we ought to focus on, our connection with God, our connection with everything being somewhat one and the same in
that
I see the beauty in everything.
Right, right. I feel one thing that hinders this, seeing the beauty in everything, is our own laziness. Mm-hmm. We get very used to our comfort zones, and I call that also laziness in a way.
Right, got it.
And so I feel if I just step out of where I am, even if it's stepping out of my comfort zone a little bit, then I will see the beauty in everything. Then I will be able to experience that. And I feel that stepping out of the comfort zone might be a little harder to begin with, but if I do that, take that one single step, then I will get a thousandfold return.
So does that mean also, I mean, in Christian tradition, it would be Jesus going out and being among the sinners and the probably out of his comfort zone to some degree. Is that what you're talking about as well?
Sure. I mean, both like on an effort level, spiritually effort level.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if I have a hard time waking up at 4, then I get out of my comfort zone and start waking up at 4 and seeing how I feel about it. And I feel my love increases when I do those things. Or it could be with people, it could be with your own.
Right. Something that moves you closer to understanding you are totally responsible for your experience.
Is that right?
So have you felt an increase of love as you go through your disciplines?
Yes.
Of connection?
Yes. I feel the more I have committed to my path, a disciplined path, it's a very disciplined path. So the more I've committed to it, the more I felt compassion for what I am and what the other person is.
Yes. Also, I often come back to this question of gratitude. And gratitude feels to me that it's a facilitator of the connectedness of the life energy.
Yes.
That the more grateful we are, the easier it flows. Is that right? So within that, to summarize in our last minute here, to feel grateful, not to blame, to feel responsible, but not to feel like we're judging other people, these are kind of the bifurcations of how to feel more love or to be aware of the love that's always there.
Right. And also to have courage.
Oh, yeah. And to have courage to know, and courage and faith, I think, go hand in hand in that one. Because the courage is to step forward in the faithing of sorts. Wow. It's a lot to think of. In fact, maybe by looking at the opposites of love, we might feel it a little bit better as we look non-judgmentally with more love. Thanks, Shereen.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you for joining us.